Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica,
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents,
or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast, Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Following a slightly bumpier ride than was entirely necessary, because Olivia, the Ostasy shuttle pool boy lands with an utterly gratuitous thump on the surface of a planet whose name our limp mustard greens don't yet know.
Pool boy?
You wouldn't believe the names those showertorium idiots gave to their shuttles. Pool boy is one of the least offensive.
Wow. What's the name of the one Freeze is sulking in?
The, well, actually...
Really? I mean, really?
They even painted on the ellipses. Bad decision, though. Every time you push a button, it tells you why another button really would have been more efficient. Anyway, it's only the second time humans have landed on a planet other than Earth, and our idiot-dipped chicken fingers don't hesitate to celebrate this momentous occasion. Incorrectly, of course.
Before.
Oh, you mean planet Cocktail? Doesn't count, dear. Yeah, planets made on Magrathea aren't considered alien for humans.
So, we're about to be the first humans on an actual alien planet.
I think Leaf beat us to it, actually.
So, we're about to be the first humans on an actual alien planet.
Fine.
Yay.
What are you waiting for? You're letting all the oxygen out of the shuttle.
There's a lot to consider, Colin. Like, will the surface hold us? What might live underneath the topsoil that will feel our vibrations and come and kill us? Remembering where we parked?
Oh, sounds like a cotton's job to me.
Oh, sure. Get me gobbled up by some subterranean alien beastie so you can take over my ship. Nice try.
There's the shot. There's the chocolate truffles, will you, Colin?
You're eating truffles? But those are my favorite.
Well, hurry up and explore, collect all the virulent infectious pathogens to bring aboard our closed system. And don't forget to shake hands or tentacles or various wobbly bits with a seemingly non-hostile inhabitant who will shortly thereafter slurp your brains out your eyeballs. Soon as you plant a flag no one will recognize, get slow to breathe something all milk your insides, and harvest some apparently docile, non-sentient like in which we'll grow to enormous size and take over the Oz-9, killing us all. You can have
up some.
Your first rant. Congratulations, Julie. You've now officially met Jesse.
Howdy-do.
Captain Byron's up here. The ranch is home. We're not seeing any signs of life other than you all.
Define signs of life. What are we talking about here?
Our monitors mostly register heat signatures.
Oh, gotcha. We had those sparklers when we were kids.
You have to ask, Greg. Lives could be at risk. The sparklers?
Yeah, those ones for signing your name in the air. Heat signatures?
That's why y'all have Velcro shoes. A heat signature means we detect body heat. We can see where you are because you register at about 99 degrees Fahrenheit. Except for your thick head. Living things generate heat.
All right, Mr. Mutter, enough with the under-the-breath commentary you're not going to share with the whole class. The aliens could, of course, be cold-blooded. They have three sons for lying about you. They could be giant lizards or iguanas or snakes.
Still angry that I'm here instead of you, huh?
Hey, a botanist, you might need some science. You could right this minute be being doused in wee little alien particles that'll burrow through the space suit and set up house in your bones. There's your science.
Disturbingly. Jesse does have a point, Captain. Pachylothermic creatures can register at very nearly the same temperature as the ambient environment.
Out of curiosity, what percentage of that did you expect our dear Captain to understand?
Right. You can't find scaly things with heat.
Anyone notice where Mrs. S. went?
She wandered off to the west, according to this.
This planet has seven poles, Colin. What are you calling west?
Towards the W on my screen. Oh, wait, that's a noodle. Never mind.
Left from the doorway on the ship.
Damn it, Mrs. S. I wanted to be the first human to step on an alien planet. Second.
Cap, we may have a problem.
What's up?
I've seen a new heat signature and it's hit what I'm pretty sure is Miss Jeffy.
Oh, get over there quick.
Jesse, your concern for your crewmates is touching.
This could be the first alien-human fight ever.
Oh, really? So what was I doing with the plot? Or Captain Madeline, for that matter?
First we can record and make a bloody fortune from on YouTube. Go faster and turn your body cams on.
Touching.
Take a sharp left. Other left, Captain. No, Captain left. How many hands do you have?
Joe, Julie, and Captain Madeline are running pell-mell across the unfamiliar terrain, the ground spongy but solid under their feet.
Nice.
Thanks. Shush. With a member of the crew potentially in grave danger, they take little notice of the alien environment they find themselves in.
Ooh, shiny.
For Christ's sake, I swear she does that on purpose.
Mrs. Sheffield first, Captain.
Right. Greg, you got Mrs. S.'s hot Hancock up there?
What?
She needs her e-signature.
The signature's almost merged, Cap.
don't tell Dr. Von Humpelstump she's off merging with some strange alien.
Please, sir, Cap. I can't get a read on this other signature. It's like parts of her, Cap, and a personal register at all.
Break it down for me, Greg. What are we running into? Ow!
Good thing you hit that side of my head. The other side's made of metal. See?
I don't think it is, actually.
Damn it! I always get that wrong!
I guess this isn't the first time this has come up. Captain, are you okay?
Fine, but that's gonna hurt tomorrow.
It doesn't hurt now?
So, you here to rescue me?
Do you need rescuing?
No. See, I was coming to tell you that if you here to rescue me, then don't.
So this planet is safe for humans?
No. Surprised you're not dead already, if I'm honest.
But you're alive.
She asked if it was safe for humans.
So you're not...
Short, plat, covered in cheese sauce. You're going to have to help me out here. Oh, by the way, don't tell Christy about the Welks.
Welks?
Human.
Where? They'll never survive.
No, I mean you. You're not...
Allergic to cabbage? French? Wearing suspenders made of hours of braiding with those rubber bands inside of golf balls. I think I might be that last one.
Are you human?
You're a bit shouty.
It's a simple question. Mostly. Except it wouldn't be for the albatross, but that's entirely different.
Different as in bits were human, but other bits weren't. So it's all a bit of a grey area, like inside of that one cupboard in the kitchen that no one will open, because once you do,
you have to eat what's in there.
There.
I'm not sure what's more frightening, that they speak the same language or that they both said eat instead of clean.
Did you see a woman with a cane come through here?
Yeah, I did. She one of your lot?
Well, yes, obviously.
How do you know?
No...
The one I saw was your one.
Is this planet overrun with women holding canes?
I don't know. I've only been here a month. Or a year. Which one of those is the longer one? Only someone hit me in the head, you see. Mine's gone a bit grey and wobbly. You know, it's like that inside of that one cupboard.
You said that already. About the cupboard.
Did I? I usually remember stuff like that. Only someone's hit me in the head, you see. Mine's gone a bit grey and wobbly, like...
I'm gonna stop you there. What's your name?
Officer Lowell of the Research Base Persephone. Best team in the CIS.
So, you are human?
Can we not start that again? Part of him are. He's a cyborg.
Seriously? I mean, we are the third, fourth, fifth, sixth human to land on an alien planet, and you spend your time talking to another Earthling. Have you no sense of adventure?
Hang on! I thought I was the first human on an alien planet. Now I'm third?
Fourth. Actually, thank you. So, there are rather a lot of potentially hostile creatures heading this way. Anyone care to offer a suggestion at all?
Is this your one, then?
Their one, then what, exactly? Hello. I'm Mrs. Sheffield.
Officer Lowell, you're a lady with a cane.
I am indeed.
You're not the one I saw, though.
Hostile creatures? Greg, you tracking this?
No, ma'am. Hancock's showing up on my screen here.
No, what?
It's your turn.
Lowell, are these things actually hostile?
What things?
Whatever is coming at us.
No clue. Is it a lady with a cane-shaped or more whelk-shaped?
I literally never hear people talk about whelks. Yet you've mentioned them twice in 10 minutes.
Is that like when you get a pair of those mega-cool steel, blue steel-cutting laser eyes with a cross-eye bit that stops your nose getting sliced off, and suddenly you notice everyone's got those mega-cool steel, blue steel-cutting laser eyes with a cross-eye bit that stops your nose getting sliced off?
What?
Are those the laser eyes that can migrate across your face?
Yeah. Turns out flatfish DNA was cheap for a reason.
How the hell do you know about this?
You should see the memes. The pics are good.
You are an evil troll, Jesse.
Right. They actually are kind of well cheap. In the shell, that is. But they're at least 2 meters tall.
So, what is that in American?
0.0218 of a football field.
Or 109/5000th of an American football field.
How did you do that?
Dunno. Sometimes it just comes out. Must be my cyborg side. Damn it!
Hello? Still not getting a sense here.
Leet with the albatross sitting on his shoulders.
Well, now I'm just sad.
You've got an albatross?
We did.
Well, before we get to questions about eggs and feathers, can we just... not? See, these creatures are very large, Captain Dear, and whilst Earth-sprung whelks have no teeth, or at least none the average citizen need concern themselves with, these are decidedly not from Earth. Thank goodness predators in this show are decidedly slow on the hoof.
If you catch one of them whelks, give us a shout, will you? I've been trying to get hold of one for ages.
Why? Research?
Surprise for Christy. She's going to need a bigger tank, though.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need to run now. Or at least I need to run faster than you.
You could...
Good, let's go. Follow me!
Whatever they are, they seem to be running much faster now.
Yeah, they do that.
Run
faster when you run. They love a hunt, them. You know them bits of your body that makes the adrenaline run?
You mean adrenal glands, the organ.
Organ. Yeah, theirs are massive. About 0.00274 on an American football field.
Then why the hell are we running?
I don't know. You're one with all the stripes in that set, too.
Greg?
Not those stripes, dear. The ones on your shoulders.
Oh, right. Yeah. But you said we should run.
I said you could run. Who taught you auxiliary verbs?
Stop!
Oh, that was right.
Hey! Elbow out of my eye.
They're coming even faster now!
Oh, by the way, they like it when you shout, too.
Do you give any helpful information before it's too late?
Oh, yeah. They don't like red.
I knew it!
Wait. Listen. I don't hear anything. No feet, no branches, nothing. Oh, excuse me. Well, just that.
Do you often get chased by branches?
It just isn't, but unless you're desperate to remember a password, you might avoid...
Can you come back to Persephone with me? Only it's not often I find people who make less sense than I do. And I want Bumface and the Commander to meet you. The Whelks don't make sounds when they run because they have just the one soft foot and the planet's covered in sponge. I find the standing still works pretty well. Only you have to be really still, like when a wasp lands on you still. Or when the commando is sleepwalking and you're trying to make a sandwich but she's got a laser blaster and is set to kill. And you have to scrape the last bit of the mayonnaise out of the glass jar and you don't have a spatula or anything scrapey but quiet. And you're really hungry but...
Be quiet. You're right out above you.
I've tried it with double the mustard or adding yogurt for moisture, but let's face it, it's a sandwich. Just isn't the same without the mayonnaise. It squelches all wrong.
Can they hear us?
Yes!
And why are you talking? Just nod.
Okay.
Let's go now. What happened?
Our friend here nodded. Let me guess. Movement is worse than sound for getting their attention.
Yeah. Soft human voices actually seem to sort of calm them down. Not the shouty kind, though.
Oh. However, did you learn that?
Huh. The other king lady asked me the same question.
Survival instinct.
Just a suggestion, but maybe if you all tried listening instead of yelling out orders first thing.
He has a point.
I'm much pointier than people think.
So, update for the crew. Everyone still have all their bits?
All fully assembled, Jesse. But, how do we get away from them if we can't move?
This episode is brought to you by Shaker and Spoon. Captain's Log, Stardate... I don't know, there's like 140 stars within a mile of me, so we're going to skip that bit. We received a package today from a company called Shaker and Spoon, and Colin and Jesse are already face deep in the box. It has three recipes for creating cocktails, plus all the ingredients you need, minus the alcohol. As someone who's been gargling swamp hooch for the last how many forevers I've been up here, wow, we got the vodka brunch box. Each recipe makes 4 servings, and we've already had the blood and sage and the slow rush. So easy to make, even Greg the Zebra was tending bar, and the results were magnificent. If you're foolish enough to listen to this show, we've got an actual smart thing for you to do. $20 off any link subscription if you go to shakerandspoon.com/oz9. Get a box delivered to your airlock each month and $20 off your subscription at shakerandspoon.com/OZ9. Enjoy, Space Monkeys. Captain out.
Stepping on board the Oz-9 is nothing if not a roll of the dice. So, if you're going to take that chance, at least have some really gorgeous, high-quality, unique RPG dice to roll with. Fan Roll by Metallic Dice Games have classic metallic dice sets, but also gemstones, acrylic, liquid core, and even a glow-in-the-dark option that's super cool and super handy when you can't find any night vision goggles. So many colors, materials, and designs to choose from. Plus, listeners to this show get 10% off your order. I'm guessing as a sort of consolation prize for listening to this show. Just use the code OZ9 at checkout. Get dice that are as unique as you and your character. Go now to fanrolldice.com and choose your dice, Space Monkeys, and get 10% off with code OZ9 at checkout.
Lowell, any ideas? We're ready to listen. Sitting here all anticipation.
Are you? You sure? I've been down this road loads of...
I have a tractor beam.
Oh, those are awesome. We once caught a bucket in ours.
Bucket, you say? What was in it?
Yeah, that was proper weird. Some sort of liquid with a berry and red suspenders in it. Smelled like grease paint.
Did you happen to keep the bucket?
Perhaps another time, Joe.
But my bucket...
You've surely been in this situation before, Lowell. How did you manage to escape?
Well, that's a story I can tell you.
Anyone capturing this on camera? What do they look like?
Whelks! They look like giant shellfish. All we can see right now is the foot and the siphon. Hang on. The one next to me is its head out.
What color is it? Whales change colors depending on what they eat.
These oscillate. They seem to rotate through a series of colors. Colors I've never seen before.
Is this you being sciencey?
Yes, hush. I mean, hush, Captain. Assuming these are similar to their Earth cousins, that tube sticking out is the siphon for breathing. Those wiggly things are tentacles. They sense prey, but usually by smell.
Great. Another whelk fancier. Now I can even be bored on alien planets.
What's that thing pointing at Joe?
The proboscis. It's where the mouth and teeth are.
Take off your belt, Joe, they said. We're all friends now, they said. What do I do?
Stay still.
I think it likes my scent. Ooh, hey.
Talk to it, Joseph.
And say what?
Oh, good Lord, man, do you really think it matters anything?
Hi, I'm Joe, the janitor aboard the Oz-9. What up?
Are you though?
Do you have any idea the shape that the Oz-9 would be in right now if it weren't for me?
Careful.
Lowell, anything we should know right now?
I thought you knew all about them smarty trousers. Hey, is proboscis short for probe ass kiss? It really should be. You should have one and all.
Officer Lowell, your expertise on the subject of giant carnivorous land whelks would be most appreciated just now.
All whelks are carnivorous.
This has got to be the stupidest way to die we've come up with yet. That's saying something.
Like I said, I've been trying to grab one. The closest I got was when I found the universe's most boring book thingy and started reading it to one of them. Put it right to sleep.
And?
It put me to sleep, too. By the time I woke up, it had whelked off.
You don't think...
Is that even possible?
A lot of pages did get sucked off into the wormhole.
I think I found nearly the whole thing.
You think it's Dr. Theo's...
You got any of those pages on you?
Sure. I always keep them handy for moments like this.
No, just to be clear, you don't actually have to wait for a specific question to proffer a solution. You know, when lives are at risk and such.
Right. Got it.
Maybe read some now?
All right. Keep your knickers out of the biscuit tin, as Christy always says to me.
Why would she have to?
It's about to touch me.
Right, here we go. As the music came to its inevitable crescendo, he dipped her like the business end of a Dairy Queen cone. He gently stroked her auburn locks, the hue a perfect and natural hex code A52A2A. The ridges of her head were normal, with no evidence of latent infant metopic ridge, nor cutis verticis gyrata forming brain-like ridges and folds hidden beneath the covering of her ear. Are you telling me you actually know this guy?
He's useful in other ways.
Oh, should we be muting the intercom? If Dr. Theo hears this, he'll be screaming for you to bring it back.
Heavens, yes, we'd never get off the ground with that tome aboard.
Hey, the proboscis is starting to go limp. Not sure how to take that.
Can we make naughty jokes on your show?
Not now.
But I mean, come on.
Read.
I considered your proposal, she whispered, looking intently at his face. And... he responded, eagerly awaiting her answer. And I don't think the National Institutes for Xenomycology will be able to fund your study of the symbiotic relationship between soporific molds and carnivorous plants in the hostile alien environments. I'm sorry, my darling. Fools. He spat gently, aware that eject droplets in saliva can travel up to 6 meters. I can't take this. You give it a go.
Read, Julie, quick, before I wait. Read some more. Really? Yeah.
Okay, hand it over.
Slowly.
The deep basso profundo of his voice, combined with the care he demonstrated by controlling his expectoration, nearly undid her resolve. And her bodice. But she managed to keep both tightly knotted. Just.
I wish the Institute could at least offer you an honorarium, she murmured in his ear. But the board has decided your discipline is just too unpredictable and dangerous. Like you.
going to simply pass out. Hand the manuscript over first. Nearly woke the whelk.
Oh, my God, how is that thing still barely drowsy? I'm so scared I'm about to wet your pants, and I'm halfway to La La Land myself.
Oh, another paragraph, I reckon. Hey, Lul.
Was that cyber gibble? One face fell down a crater. Shall we throw down a sandwich? Or an anvil?
Helpful, Officer Lark. Unpredictable I may be, he said, his arms and thighs starting to spasm from holding her so long in the dip position. And dangerous, too. I can't argue with that, although I do take every precaution to ameliorate dangers inherent in my work. Including but not limited to face screens, all relevant inoculations, steel tube, luscious and sterile gloves. But I never take liberties with the lives of those the word quivered at the end of his tongue. Yes, she queried him, intent as a doctoral committee. Love, he confessed. The word dropping as hard on her heart as she did on the floor, as his aunt and his sister gave out at the same moment.
And?
Everyone fell asleep, and when they woke up, the whelks were gone. No one was hurt or missing. They gathered up a bunch of samples and hightailed it back to the pool boy.
Okay, so what happened to Lowell?
Let's find out.
Huh. You sure you don't want to lift? Whew, we owe you. Not for our lives, but at least for a really solid nap.
Nah, I'm good. Still hoping to get a whelk for Christy.
This might help.
Yeah, what's this string of horrible eggy things?
Eggs. Whelk eggs. For Christy. Be careful with them, though. I suggest a growth limiter.
Oh, the commander will never go for that. She's all about her crew reaching their capacity.
Yes, but this isn't a crew.
By the by, we've left a few pods. Right? I thought we might adopt humanity here and there just to keep concentrations low. What's the name of this planet, so they know what to call it when they wake?
Lowell. Welcome to Planet Lowell.
Oh, please put welcome on the banner.
Why?
Seriously?
Bye now. Fly safe.
Bye.
Stay classy.
Bye. Bye.
Later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Are they gone?
There you are! No, you really are very nearly like that other one that just took off.
Yes, well, not entirely. T.
U. V. W. X. Y. Z.
I beg your pardon?
Before Lowell starts to explain the rules of the alphabet game he just invented, we're going to go ahead and take over.
Who is this second Mrs. Sheffield? A double? An earlier incarnation crossing the time streams like you're really not supposed to do, but Russell T. Davies does all the time and no one yips at him about it? Or is it simply an idea the writer had, but will forget about as the season continues?
Julie returns with a pocket full of samples. Will they, as Jesse predicted, grow to enormous size and take over the ship?
And what about that shiny thing Madeline went back for when no one was looking? I guess you'll just have to stay tuned. You've been listening to Chrissy Talon Sage as Julie, Shannon Perry as Madeline, Sarah Golding as Mrs. Sheffield, Tim Sherburn as Colin,
Eric Perry as Joe, Bonnie Brantley as Jesse, Kevin Hall as Greg, guest starring Ash Hunt as Officer Lowell, courtesy of Oblivity, the podcast by Rob Stringer, who also helped with writing this episode.
If you're not familiar with Oblivity podcast, you are really missing out. Stay tuned for a tasty sample, then find the URL to their website in the show notes. Oblivity is one of our favorite shows of all time, so make sure you check them out.
I'm Kyle Jones as narrator 2.
And I'm Chris Nadolny-Gorley as your narrator. John Faley writes our music. Lucas Elliott is responsible for our artwork.
Sarah Golding is our dialogue editor, and Shannon Perry is our sound designer.
Thanks for listening, Space Monkeys. Keep your eyes on the stars, but maybe avoid unfamiliar olives.
Stationed at Research Base Persephone, oversee operations. You'll be leading a crew of 3. Exobotanist.
Good morning! How was your shower? None of us saw you naked!
Astrochemist.
Do you have any interest in silk?
Engineer. Note, crew includes one cybernetically enhanced individual.
I can smash a wrench on my head and not feel a thing.
I think we're on a cryovolcano, and I think it might be about to erupt.
You're inside the quantum field, Mum!
Is this some sort of thing? Out of the meteorite.
Nobody's getting eaten.
Someone might get eaten.
It could tear an infinite hole in the fabric of time and space.
I love to idea!
This is probably going to be fine.
Oblivity. Visit oblivitypodcast.com.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
I got this really strange email last night.
I need to see what's going on with this mystery file.
Hey, it's a map of a town called Ocean Bay.
Someone sent these images to you for a reason.
I'm so lost right now.
When was the last time you chose a direction and followed it?
I'm going to Ocean Bay.
We don't get many tourists this time of year.
Ocean Bay is a friendly town, but we're not that friendly.
I never sent you an email. I don't even know you.
And why exactly are you here?
The map is the reason we're here.
Maps help when you're lost.
Do you know what a trap street is?
Trap streets aren't real. They don't exist.
Don't trust anyone unless they give you a reason to trust them.
I think he's dead.
How could so much damage happen to a human body in such a short period of time?
What the hell is going on here?
From the creators of Strange Air, this is Trap Street.
So maps can have secrets.
Yes, maps can have secrets.